Do you remember what you were doing back in March 2011? I'll give you a hint. It's when the Nintendo 3DS was launched in the United States and Europe and Australia and other places. It's also when the Syrian Civil War started, and it hasn't stopped yet. In 7 years, well over 100,000 civilians have been killed, including women, children, and the elderly. Over half of Syria's doctors have fled, and thanks to the Assad government's policy restricting access to health services in unsympathetic areas, once rare infectious diseases have spread rapidly, mostly affecting very young children. This includes typhoid, tuberculosis, diphtheria, and polio. If you're listening to this and thinking, oh my god, how is that still happening? Text the words GIVE SYRIA to 80100 and you'll donate $10 to the Syrian Refugee Relief Fund. This only works for U.S. mobile phones, but if you're an international listener or you'd like to donate in other ways, you should go to globalgiving.org and learn how you can help. Text the words GIVE SYRIA to 80100 and donate $10 or visit globalgiving.org.
For some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge, and lay maintain with a course saving the colleges. To HG 101, we give the honor, thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as to Tanga, Cal and Bobinator, Hooker, Hart, and others discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it, go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Taking a bath in the middle of the battlefield. That cool.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 132, I hope, of us Hardcore Gaming 101's podcast, where we're talking about this time, we're talking about Sky Gunner, which was nominated by Behan Kiss on iTunes. So this is an iTunes review. It gave us a 5-star review. This game is developed by Pixel Arts and published by Sony Computer Entertainment. I guess that must be in Japan because the U.S. version is Atlas. Yeah. And it was released for the PS2 on September 27th. That ain't right. It says September 27th, 1991. That's not correct. There was no PlayStation. There was no PlayStation.
Wait, what the heck?
It's been in development for a reasonably large amount of time.
Hang on, I'll fix this.
Sky Gunner gets around a little bit. I believe it's 2001?
2002 in the United States. I don't know when it was released in the
United States. September 27, 2001 in Japan.
September 27, 2001.
Can confirm Atlas in America.
Yeah.
And so, I can confirm that they didn't release it in PAL land. Freaking annoying.
They didn't. Yep. I mean, you know, you guys wouldn't be interested.
We would love this game. It bothers the hell out of me. It's like this stupid, like, Euro-ish, steampunky, flying a plane with stupid kids game. This is exactly what, like, the entire population of France wants.
Okay, so...
Okay.
All right. So Sky Gunner is like a third-person air combat game, like dogfighting game, where everybody flies. It's like some kindergartners own, like, battle gliders or something. And nobody sprang for the license to Porco Rosso, so it's a totally new thing. But it's basically Porco Rosso, the game. And you guys know what Porco Rosso is, right?
I'm familiar with the pork flying
game. I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
Very underrated.
I'm glad you brought it up, though, because this game is super Ghibli.
Yeah. It's a very underrated Studio Ghibli movie. This game is basically like that plus, I guess, maybe some Kiki's Delivery Service, but more like the glider from Nausicaa, maybe. It's kind of like those things combined.
I was just thinking.
Yeah.
silhouette mirage the whole time. But I'm like the only human being on Earth who ever thinks about silhouette mirage. So
you sure are. Continue. So it's like it's, you know, it's like a dogfight game, and it's like you're like I said, some 8-year-olds or something who have battle gliders or something, and it's pretty good looking. Like it's a good looking PS2 game.
I was surprised actually a little bit. Like I was like, oh, so they're doing open world, very colorful. Avoid that grainy look that a lot of the PlayStation games have, you know, like the slightly compressed, weirdly texture look that a lot of these ones suffer from. And it's not very jagged, which is another problem that I think is typical.
Yeah, it's not quite as like smooth as you'd see like in a Dreamcast game, but...
No, it's not like Skies of Arcadia are like smooth and sort of bubbly.
But my main issue with it, I mean, but let's
can I say describe the gameplay. I don't know if we introduced ourselves.
Oh, we didn't. So who's with me to discuss this wonderful
game? I'm Bobinator. Hello.
So we got Cal.
I'm Clay. I'm Cal.
Yeah, so, I guess I was waiting for somebody.
Yeah. So yeah, like this game is that's pretty much it. Like it's dogfighty, I guess, but it's like Star Fox style dogfighty, which means that if you go too far in the wrong direction, you will turn around.
I
wouldn't
describe this game like Star Fox at all. I would compare it more to Ace Combat, if anybody says that.
So, just because everybody starts looking this up, I looked this up on when we came, noticed it on the docket, and I'm like, oh boy, this looks like Star Fox. And so I picked it up, and it's nothing like Star Fox.
Well, I mean, it's more like I'm talking about like the like Star Fox 64, like open area combat.
Yeah. Thing. No, I just wanted to warn everybody. Like,
yeah. It's, I don't really, yeah, whatever.
It's all terrain mode okay. In Star Fox is what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's right. What you're entering all terrain mode. For some reason, the wings change as yeah, if that makes inconceivable difference. Right.
No, but this one, I will say to start off with, it immediately throws you with a ridiculous amount of control options in order to, like, make you choose them, which is insane.
Yeah. Don't choose the expert controls. They suck.
I picked all expert because I'm like, I'm not a baby. I know how to play video games.
Terrible. Terrible.
Oh.
So the thing about the third person stuff is the biggest design problem they have here is that the way the camera works is not actually the design problem. It's actually, I think, they did a pretty good job with it. So it's like everything is a lock-on targeting no matter what. So whatever your target is, that's where the camera is pointed, and it doesn't matter where your ship is going. You're going to be looking in that direction. And it's disorienting at first, but once you get used to it, it's not so bad. Because there's also this like, you know, quick like spin around thing where you just tap, I think, R1, and you'll just like, whoosh, you know, your craft will immediately somehow like flip around in the air and face the target. And it works out pretty well because, you know, a big part of, you know, dogfight air combat games is tracking your targets and stuff like that and juggling targets and like keeping track of who's where you need to be, you know. This game simplifies that in a way that I think works pretty well. The problem is the way the gliders or whatever, what are they called? Do they have
they're just called gunners. Or
are they called gunners or the characters who are flying their planes called?
Yeah, I don't think they named actual vehicles.
Texas Titans.
That seems odd that for them to pass up the opportunity to give them a terrible, terrible name that doesn't make any sense.
Get on the Terraform.
Yeah, yeah. They'd have some normal thing like what they call it, like, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like what it's always something terrible.
Our Ridgery Didge is under attack.
No. It'd be a real word, but a word that doesn't actually apply to anything about
it. It's got to be it's got to be the word like bathosphere with like something else glued onto it.
Yeah, there you go. Right? Bathosphere being an area of the ocean that would be just right. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So, so the idea of it is like, you know, you're fighting over Studio Ghibli version of Europe usually and all that. And the problem is like the controls are just way too floaty. But, and the other problem is that the gliders or whatever they are, the bathosphere pilot slabs, they didn't really think about how hard it would be to tell which direction it's facing.
Oh,
because if the camera is always facing your target, that you're locked on. That means that even if you're...
You can disable that, but it's useless because obviously you can't hit anything. But I think if you hold the triangle button, it puts you in behind your plane view. Because of the way the lock-on system works. You have to be locked onto an enemy to use the special weapons, I think. But yeah, you can get behind your plane. It's not particularly useful, but you can do it. I played the whole tutorial. I went through the whole boring tutorial. Wow, they should not have done it like that. That is very bad.
It is awful, yeah. But but that's the main thing is like you can't tell. I'll be like, it'll say like, why are you flying away from the target or something?
I don't know where that.
I'm not. I'm flying towards it, right? You can't tell because the way that your glider is colored and designed, it always looks like it's.
Did anybody ever not play as a character who can like turn around to automatically face what you want to go towards?
I already told you that I picked everything in hardest mode, so I picked the character who can air brake.
Oh, I was like, I knew exactly what I was getting into after I realized this wasn't Star Fox, and I immediately was like, no, I am playing baby controls because I know exactly how this is going to play.
Expert all the way.
I've always been really bad at Ace Combat, so I'm really bad at this game. Yeah.
No, the quick turn thing is for the what's her name? Seal? Seal's the 8-year-old boy. Who's the 8-year-old girl?
Emma, isn't it? I just played as her. My God, I can't remember anything about the details.
But anyway, like the one with green hair.
None of this matters.
None of this matters. None of this matters. This doesn't matter.
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, but like that thing is key, like especially when you're first figuring out the game, the ability to just immediately like wrench your craft into the direction of whatever your selected target is huge. The game also has some cool like special like I don't know, extra weapons. It's got I think three, right? There's the dog missiles or something they bark. So and you can like sick those on your enemies, and basically they like for certain kinds of enemies that if you got a lot of small craft that you have to shoot down and not a lot of time to do it, the dog missile things are great because they slow them down. Yeah, basically, yeah.
Okay.
You got a fireworks thing, which is kind of like just missiles, I think. I'm not really sure they do anything.
It's pretty. The idea behind it is there is a combo chain system in the background, so you get more enemies quicker with the exploded, like in a wide area thing, and then there's some other stuff which doesn't really make any practical sense. But.
Yeah, so, and then there's the cross bombs, or the cross missiles.
Yeah, you just shove a giant cross into your enemy. It's very, it's probably weird. The most, like, singularly anime thing that I saw in the game was just, fire, yeah.
It's supposed to be like an explosive that you kind of attach to the enemy ship. It's for usually fighting bigger ships.
Yeah, but it's like jams you're supposed to target it and shoot. Humongous ass cross right through their ship, like.
Yeah, and then you shoot it and it explodes and does major damage and all that. And other than that, I mean, who got the furthest in this game?
Clade.
Clade.
What?
The floor is yours for 5 minutes. Describe the story as best you can.
No, that's a filthy lie. I played like 2-3 missions on both the easy and the medium character, and I realized there's story differences between the characters.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
Yes.
For our purposes, but
I'm not very good at these kinds of games. We were talking about the controls, and it does my least favorite thing, where like if you're going to collide into something, it just kind of bounces you away from it.
Right.
Rather than like colliding you into it and making you like redo it, because I'd rather just do that rather than the game.
You would rather the game constantly crash you into the ocean, is what you're telling me.
Well, yeah.
Well, no, I mean like, because you're playing like the big battleship. I'd rather the game didn't wrest the controls away from my hands, flying me in some other direction.
Because of the way the default camera works, I think that it's fair to say that if you could have collision damage, it would be impossible. Yeah. Because the way the game is meant to be played, you're not supposed to be worrying about whether you're going to smack into something. You're supposed to be like always chasing your current target or switching to the next target.
Well, that's true, but it feels funny.
I'm actually, this is one of the like air combat games in particular, like this, the space ones I'm pretty good at. The more complicated, the better. I don't know why. I recognize that this is not a popular genre and nobody wants to play this anymore, but I'm pretty good at it. And the idea of like keeping an idea of the way that things are going to unfold and who you have to keep an eye on and how to manage your resources. That's the big attraction of those games. And this game, it strips a lot of that away, but it keeps the target juggling aspect of it in there. And I find that very odd, but kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, this one, it's like, it kind of like takes like an arcade game and then keeps like flight simulatory controls. If you take quite the like further end of the difficulty controls, because you basically are able to do like a full, you can barrel or whatever, like you can do like a full 360 if you feel like it. And
is there any real advantage to doing that, going for all the hardest control options?
I couldn't tell you because I just went all in on the hardest controls. I think that generally it should give you literally more control so that you have, you don't run into enemies as much since you have the ability to, oh crap, I can't remember the term for it, but I think it's, is it pitch? You can, whatever, you can move your craft kind of like, or is it bank? No, it's not bank.
No, banking.
Airplane
pitch
turn.
And yaw are up and down, left and right.
No, it's
banking is side to side.
What is it? What's side to side?
Banking is when you like tilt from left to right.
You don't tilt. Well, I guess you kind of tilt, but yeah, you have the ability to just shift left or and comfort. Right a bit.
Strafing in like first person shooter terms.
Yeah. Banking. Well, no, that's it's got barrel rolling, which is like that, where you stay locked onto your enemy, but you like dodge to the side really quick. That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, that's... I'm sorry, I didn't realize that's... I thought you were talking more subtle movements.
Well, yeah, you can make subtle adjustments where you basically swing the plane left and right without changing your roll. So you just kind of, like, move to the sides. I don't think that's in the easier control options, so...
No, that's the one I know that's not in there. One thing I kind of want to talk about, because Xerxes were talking about space combat games, this does kind of feel like a stripped-down space combat game, and it's really nice because you have an up and... you have a top and bottom rather than just the endless void of space, which gets really disorienting, and it's not disorienting in this game. So if you like TIE Fighter and you get motion sick or something like that, this might be interesting to look at.
I think you can stall your craft a little bit, can't you?
Can you do what?
Can I speak for a second? Is a good part and bad part of the way the controls handle for me in this game. I like how it's not impossible to actually stay on your target, and they don't like suddenly go veering off another direction. You can never stay directly on them. That's something that's really difficult to do for most of these games. But a lot of my difficulty in this game from when I played, it's when you're fighting really big targets, it's never really clear where you need to be hitting, because everything is so over-designed.
Yeah, and the draw distance isn't great for what it needs to be. Thankfully, this game's got a lot of really cool GUI things, like if you're within range, I think if your machine guns, it throws up a little green circle as if you're out of range, it's not there. Things like that. But like, there's a mission, like the first mission against the battleship or whatever, it's like telling you to attack the cannons, and if you're too far away from the cannons, you're like, what cannons? I just see a big blob in the distance that I'm still within range of shooting.
And the game definitely leans a little bit, quite happily, on the fact that you can auto-lock onto anything, and you just press a button. R2, I think, just changes what you're locking onto. Like, at any time, you just press it, and it'll just shift where you're locking onto anything else in the game. Like, it'll just pick your target for you. You can manually retarget by aiming directly at an enemy and pressing triangle, if you feel like it. That's a real pain in the ass, because you have to twist your plane to aim at things.
I thought that the triangle thing, it like whenever the little alert thing came up, it would work.
Like, right. It also, like, if something major is happening, like you're going to lose because someone gets shot or something, you can, you get like a warning.
That is actually a really useful feature though, because that's one of my big complaints about that type of gameplay, the like, you know, target juggling gameplay, is that they always like, because they're usually hardcore sims. Right? Like, I'm talking about, like, your TIE Fighters and your Descent Free Spaces and such.
Didn't Colony like, Wars do, like, a really, like, bad amount of, like, escort missions and then you would just lose?
Like, yeah, but there was, like, I mean, the thing is, with those, it's always, like, you'll get alerts, like, saying, like, oh, you know, whatever your ship designation is that you're supposed to be protecting, like, transport move Delta 2 is getting, pasted. They usually don't say pasted, but and you'll be like, oh no, you got it, and then you gotta cycle through your targets until you find it, or if you were smart enough to assign it to like a quick target button, you can do that and you gotta find it, and then you gotta press another button to say like attack the ship that's attacking my target, or select, target the ship that's attacking the current target. And it's really irritating. It's like, it's more realistic because that's probably how realistic in the sense that you're, fantasy.
Yeah, it's a realistic simulation.
But it's like, it's working like a real, like a real,
dogfight.
It's limited in the same sense that like a real computer would be limited. It wouldn't just be able to know everything automatically. But this game just does away with that. So it's like, nah, your pilot knows what you're doing.
It's like arcade game kind of deal.
Oh no, the like transport zeppelins are being attacked, and it's like it'll just say like, you know, press triangle, and then you immediately select the phalanx of ships that are attacking that target. And it's useful. I really did appreciate that part of it. The problem is that you can't target like your actual like, you know, iron sighting or whatever you want to call it is miserable. It's terrible.
It's kind of weird. Really, like some of the things that you have to shoot at move very erratically, and you cannot get a bead on them because you're like leaning to the side, and then you overshoot, and then they swerve impossibly, and you're like, all right, well, like you're just, I don't know. Like it's weird how arcadey this game is, and then it uses some simulation elements, and those are like, wow, this is really tough now.
You can lead the shot though in this game, and that's super cool.
It does work, yeah. I mean, it should work. That's the thing that is taken over for, I think, from like actual hardcore like dogfight sims is, yeah, like leading your target so that it hits. You know, you shoot where your target's going to be, which is the main thing. That's like how dogfighting combat works, right? So,
it's, right. But the game itself,
but in the game, it makes it so damn difficult, like. It's so hard. It's hard just to like even to get a lock on a target for your special weapon. Sometimes you got to be really, really close to them for one.
Yeah, it doesn't let you lock on in an infinite distance. You have to close a certain amount of distance, and the game will only let you lock on to the target that you have selected as your target.
Which is, shall we say, stupid. Because
to coin a phrase.
Yeah, because what it should be is that the further away from your target, the harder it is, but you can still technically do it, which rewards skill and careful play. Instead, what it does is says, no, unless you are X number of clicks away from your target, you can't lock onto it, which is, it's just dumb. It punishes you for playing intelligently, which is like getting some distance between you and your target, getting a good angle where they're going, because, you know, in this game, what I do like about it is when you're attacking like the bigger ships, it really does matter which angle you attack them from, because their gun turrets won't be able to hit you very easily if you attack them from the right angles, which is really cool and something you don't get in probably any dogfight sims I can think of. It's like even like X-Wing and TIE Fighter, those ones, like the lasers kind of can hit you from almost anywhere. Like they're, you can target the individual, you know, laser cannons on the ships, on the really big ones, but there's usually so many it almost doesn't matter. So, but with this game, like, yeah, when you're attacking like certain size ships, you can like, if you go in from like a, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, like a 45 degree angle or something from the target. I don't know. It gets really complicated, but it works like how you would imagine this kind of like weird steampunk airship combat thing would work if it ever existed, which it didn't.
That's just a big credit to the game. It does. It feels pretty coherent, I guess, is what you're
saying. Yeah, it works. Yeah, it does the thing I love most about any kind of like weird sci-fi type scenario, which is think about stupid things that never happened and never existed and couldn't exist, but treat them as if they were real. And what would their real limitations be, and build the game around that. And it gets so damn close. I just want to, all I can really do is give it a big kudos and say like, you tried, and did they ever do anything like this again?
No, not even the, what I think is a fan sequel. Cause there's like the Wikipedia says that it's a sequel, but it also says it's a doujin game, which to me means that it's not a real sequel, but that was just a straight shmup, but it is a follow up to the game, allegedly. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's not the same thing.
No,
like it's frustrating to me because it gets so close to like, oh, this is really good. You know, this is a really good iteration on like the flight sim, like the hardcore flight sim. Like it's splitting the difference in a good way. They just didn't nail the controls, which is weird because they did a really unorthodox thing with the camera that I think actually kind of works pretty well.
I think you can kind of get, if you find the right balance of the control settings for you, I think you can have a really good time with it. I think the challenge is basically you have to really go all in and learning it, and it doesn't really care if you learn it because the game's pretty forgiving. I think it's not too difficult.
What it needs to do, I'd say, if it really wanted to up the ante, like it really wanted to nail this thing, it first of all needed to give you like a lot more control over the sensitivity of your controls.
Yeah,
which is just kind of standard for this sort of game, and I don't know why they didn't do it. But the other thing they needed to do, I think, and also they need to make sure that, like, the front of your ship was a completely different color than the back of your ship. That way you can tell when you were flying towards the camera.
More orthodox, like, shape, for God's sake.
Yeah, it's something, but, you know, I can see it's an issue, but it's something you do get used to. The other thing they should have done is, like, once you've got a target locked on and it's within your, like, targeting reticle or sphere or whatever you want to call it, your controls should have been, like, fine-tuned once you were aiming within that space. Right, it should have automatically...
I think that Dreamcast game that wasn't released, Propeller Arena, did that.
Because more games need to do that. Xerxes is a genius.
But why? Like, explain, because I don't know why.
Well, okay, because, like, you're right. Most games, it's just, that's such a great idea of the, like, when you get too close, when you get, like, near them, you get your beat on them.
I mean, it's basically, like, triggering iron sights once you're
over.
Or, like, yeah, just, like, slow-mo combat in, like, an Arkham game, right?
Or just even, like, you know, slow down the sensitivity, because, like, you know, when you're, like, way off, of course you want to be scrolling fast as anything, but, like, when you're right on there, if you kind of hit, like, a weak point or something like that, that'd be amazing. You just slow down everything, or
Also, this game is not multiplayer, so it can do, like, slow down and stuff. It's not going
to
ever affect
me. I'm sorry. I think Bob wanted to say something.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I just wanted to say real quick, I really do wish there were more games of this type nowadays. I mean, you got Ace Combat, and I guess those Tom Clancy games that no one ever really talks about, and that's about it.
Hawks is one of them, right? With an X.
Are they still making Hawks games?
I don't think so. I think it merged with Tony Hawk's American Underground.
Tony Hawk's Pro Dogfighting.
What they should do is, it should be like American Underground, Tony Hawk, and people are, like, skateboarding on top of, like, F-14 fighter jets or something.
No. You see, they tried making Tony Hawk's Underground Dogfighting, but nobody could understand exactly what they were going for on the game.
What about a skateboarding dogfighting sim? Like, it's like in a giant skateboard park, and yet you have weapons, and you've got that would actually be really cool.
I would definitely look at that game. That sounds like an indie game that you would see and be like,
we'll put that game number one if you guys
I'm interested in this one. We're not going to put it number one. It's not better than Tetris. Anyway, should we look at putting
it before? We should rank this. We should rank
Sky Gunner. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's pretty good.
I hope I'm looking at the right list. It's all right. I think it needed to either pick more simulation or more arcadey.
I do find it funny that since it offers all the control options, they just clearly were like, I don't know, guys, let's just stop for all of them and hopefully they find out what they like, which I appreciate that sort of accessibility kind of deal, but in this game's case, it also means that I don't know what it's balanced for, because it kind of wants you to be able to use the complicated controls, but it's just willing to just throw basic baby controls at you as well, because they were not able to commit to a control style. I should point out, like, I don't mind the controls too much, but I also like games that control really badly because I like to learn control systems.
Oh, yeah. It's all from that time when you, like, fell directly on your head when you were a child, right? Like, that's when that
fell
happened.
Out of the pouch.
Into, like a complicated, like, machine that I had to get out of by opening
the,
a door.
Called the Shaq Fu syndrome, I believe.
Yeah, like, exactly. That's the same thing. I'm like,
interestingly enough, like, when this one is released, will we have done the original Dynasty Warriors? Oh, we have. So, yeah, flashback to that, which we've totally already recorded and talked all about. There's another game that Cal loves because it controls like you're damn right.
Yeah,
you're trying to do like your Tai Chi in a giant.
Took me like
bat
a week and a half, 2 weeks of like steady getting into it to figure it out, but I got there.
All right. So let's rank this.
I think
it's Descent.
Descent.
Woo.
Good.
We don't have any true, like, proper, like, real combat sims on the list, do we?
Well, he did mention Descent, which is pretty close.
Well, Descent is more like a, that's right. Thank you, Bob.
We did do the original Star Fox.
No, it doesn't count.
If you want to count a game which is a non-violent approach to this, we have Pilot Wings 64.
That is a good start.
That's a 212, I believe.
It was robbed. come on. Pilot Wings 64 is a game where it's like, it lets you do all the stuff you can't do in this game, which is like, I'm going to like fly my gyrocopter.
To an extent, yeah, this game feels like it actually really wants like a free fly mode where you just have fun.
Let's dive bomb this gas station. Why not? You can. You know, that's what I love about that game.
That's an interesting one. I actually do think it is around the territory kind of that I'm that actually somewhere around there seems all right.
Yeah, I want to put it I don't want to dump on it too badly because they never got to grow on this, you know, they never really got to develop this doesn't mean it's a bad idea, and it's the only mass market kind of aimed dogfighting game that I think could actually work. And I'm like, the closest thing we have nowadays is like the what are they called? What are those games called? I'm drawing a real blank.
Nobody has any idea where you're going with this.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help, but I'm like, I don't know, mate.
I got to look at my Steam library just a second.
Well, no, it's in a Steam library.
Yeah.
So I'm going to.
Better than Snatcher.
No, I don't think so.
I think like the thing is like I know like I try and keep up with some indie games, and I don't really think of any that do actually do this kind of thing. They're like this specific like type. There is that one that's an Ace Combat type of game, isn't it? Do you anyone remember that one? It's got a very low poly style. It's called the I don't know sky shooting plane game. Help. Help.
I haven't played like a simulator made after TIE Fighter, okay?
What? Nobody's qualified to talk about this game.
I guess. I own like Flight Simulator 97 or something.
What's
like
it
that.
Called? It looks like Drift Stage, but with planes. It's not. Anyway, there aren't too many games like this. It's not a popular genre. Even amongst indie developers, it's not super popular. So this does not completely stand alone, but definitely it's a PlayStation 2 game that really fits in that whole, let's go wholesale in an idea that it's gonna work, because we're gonna make it work, but then nobody's ever gonna touch it again. So it's pretty cool.
They could have done better. Like, they should have focused more on the controls. They focused a lot on the interface, and they were very thoughtful about that. And I want to applaud that, because I think if they got a second game where they could have really fine-tuned it, it would have worked a lot better. But they should have, if one thing, adjust the sensitivity of the analog controls.
I do think
it's not a hard thing to do. You know what I mean? It's built into the analog controls. The idea of you can adjust this as the player sees fit, and it would work so much better.
It's a shame for them, because obviously the Dreamcast, the Dreamcast I think had digital triggers, but the PlayStation like 3 and the that sort of thing. Like, once you have like a little bit more analog control on your shoulder sticks, that's when shoulder buttons. Sorry.
That would have made a big. I'd love to be able to play this on it with a PS4 controller. Would have made a huge difference too.
I thought the PS2 had analog buttons, or is that just the face ones?
Well, face buttons and not the thing. And don't even bother. No. It's the
worst. I think like three games use those analog buttons.
Well, I'm aware they use them, but I was just kind
of one of those games is the bouncer, and another is Zone of the End is 2. So that kind of tells you where they're going with this ridiculous.
Oh, so Kojima really liked the idea.
Oh yeah, he loved the idea that you could press kind of softly, and we got to rank this.
So we got to.
Okay, so I think I want to put it. I think it goes
Jet Force Gemini at 224. Like, I don't have anything to say about that. Just like,
no, it's got to go above that. I would put it I want to put it above The Simpsons, below Broforce. I don't really know why exactly.
That
I just want to say
Snatcher. Are you cool with that?
That's true. I did say it should go below Snatcher, but I'm thinking more about like Snatcher. Too. Like, Snatcher has some targeting issues of its own.
choices. I think if we ever did Snatcher, if we hadn't done it before, it wouldn't be where it was now, I'll be honest.
I think it's fine where it is.
You can go listen to it, Game Club 1990X, episode 35. I should just go take that.
Can you actually go listen to that? That's actually like a really hard effort to go find that, I think, at this point.
It's out there, though. You can get it. It hasn't disappeared.
Volume 2. A similar element to Robot Alchemaic Drive, which is a completely bat-so-crazy, insane game where you pilot a giant robot with a remote control that's kind of a facsimile of the PlayStation controller from ground level looking at the robot. That's a crazy game.
All right. Let's put it right below Pilot Wing 64, right above Brave Fencer Musashi.
I do think it's better than Brave Fencer Musashi. So, I mean, that's kind of a catch 22 on Snatcher.
Yeah. I think that's where it goes. Who disagrees? That's 2.
No, I'm good with that.
All right, that's where it goes. Right above Brave Fencer Musashi, right below Pilot Wing 64, is at, as of this recording, number 213. Although that could probably change. It may very well be different by the time you hear this, but that's where it goes now. So thanks everybody. And thanks to who nominated this one. I need to give more props to thanks to Bayon Kiss, on iTunes. Thank you so much for giving us that 5-star review. Thank you for nominating this game. You probably did it back during like, you know, like 2015 or whenever, but, we did the best we could and I really enjoyed it. So I wish, I wish they could have done a follow up and I would not have played this game if it hadn't been nominated. So thank you. And, good night, I suppose. Good day.
Good day.
That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent, Jeff Rude, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter, Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GCNRNX and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HG Discord. But most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.